What's up, guys? How are you? Enjoying this whole spring forward thing without the spring part? It's pretty depressing, isn't it? Hey, at least the sun's out. Hey, my name is Brandon. If you're visiting with us, this is your first time here. Hi, welcome. We just met. That's cool. Say hi to me out there. I'd love to meet you. So humanity, humans. On one hand, they bring me a lot of joy. Some of you may know that about 3 weeks and a day ago, my wife and I, we hauled into the van and we went out and ventured into Cincinnati to go to Good Sam Hospital to meet our twin identical baby boys, Xander and Zeke. You can see some pictures right there. Oh, I know, right? It's just adorable. My wife says they look like me, so I'll take it. So it's been fun. It's been crazy at our household. But you know, humans, these little humans, they provide me so much joy. It's been so exciting. And you know, sleep is a little bit different, but you know, it's been all kind of crazy and good. And my two daughters are adjusting. The whole acting out thing is going on, but you know, starting to a little bit get back to normal a little bit, or a new normal, so to speak. And I was just thinking about this as far as humans. You know, Genesis 1, when God decided to create everything that is, he decided to pull up a microphone and start spitting some verses. And he would say, hey, let there be light, and there would be light. And he would sit back at the end of a day and say, that's good. Pat himself on the back. You know, I got some skills. And then he would go and create some more stuff. And he said, That's good. And then he got to the finale. He got to the focal point of the painting. He got to the climax of the story. And he said, you know what? Let's make man in our own image. Male and female, he created them. And so he brings humans into the world. And at the end of that day, y'all, he said, that's very good. So high five, right? We're very good. No? Not excited. Okay. Because all of y'all know, like on the one hand, humans, we're pretty good. We're pretty good. But that very good, we know that that didn't last very long. Right? Because if you've read scripture, maybe, you know, at the beginning of the year, you're like, I'm going to read through the Bible. And so you got into Genesis, and maybe you got into the third chapter where everything just goes to smithereens. It just completely falls apart. Because y'all know what happened. If you don't, this is what happened. God decided to put these Adam and Eve in the garden. Everything was good. Everything was very good. And then they decided to test God and say, you know what? I know you said not to take anything from this one tree, but the serpent, the snake thing, like, why would you trust that, right? Come on. But we're humans. We can feel bad. Like, it was dumb, Eve, but we would do the same thing. And so, you know what? That's not really what he said. You won't really die. It's not a big deal. And so ever since Adam and Eve took a bite of that fruit, we have been living in a world where, yes, humans can provide us some pretty good joy, some pretty good happiness, but on the other hand, humans can be pretty mean, pretty much a curse. Think about this. I know that all of you have people in your lives where you think of them and you're like, yes, they provided me so much joy. They provide me so much joy. But y'all also have those people in your life who have caused you pain, sorrow, annoyance, frustration. Can I get an amen? Amen. And the church said amen. But think about this. I'm going to read just like a statement, a beginning of a statement. And I think you can picture somebody that would correspond with this description, okay? Think about this. They have loved me. Who do you think about? They have loved me. They have stuck by my side through thick and thin. They have always been there. Think of somebody. They have taught me more than they'll ever know. Who are you thinking about? They hurt me. They're the reason I keep that secret. They wounded my ability to trust, and every single relationship ever since that person came into my life has been hard and difficult and usually a failure. They abandon me. Who do you think about? They show me by their inaction that no one truly cares. Humans, right? We can be a blessing, but we can also be a curse. Tim Ross, let me introduce you to him. He knows this to be true very much. He was telling a story about the day his life changed. He's 8 years old. He grew up in a neighborhood where all the kids played together, you know, your just typical neighborhood where everyone's hanging out, having a good time. And his neighbor called over to him, said, "Hey, come over here." And when he got up to his neighbor, he said, "I have something to show you in the garage." And he was eight, right? So he was impressionable. He follows his neighbor into the garage. And he said, "That was the moment my life changed forever." He didn't show him anything. He molested him. And so Tim, a little eight-year-old, goes home and his mom does what, you know, a mom would do and asks him how his day was. And he said, "That was the moment I became a professional liar." And he said about a week later, that neighbor invited him to, or called him over to the garage again and again and again. And by the time he was 12 years old, he had developed what he would say drove him. This was the one thing in his life that drove him more than anything, an addiction to pornography. And so time goes on, he's dealing with that. This is still a secret, no one knows about it. And when he's 19, still living at home, he gets caught. And his mom, he said that his mom went to her room and prayed, and he said that it must have been the best prayer she's ever prayed, because he didn't know what she said. But he ended up getting up and walking down the hallway, and he said he had a choice to make. He would either turn left and go into his room and never talk about this moment again and keep that secret bottled up, or he would turn right, maybe have the courage to tell his mom that the thing that she just caught him doing, that was just the symptom of an even bigger and even deeper wound and problem. And so he said, you know, he decided to turn right. And he went into his mom's room and he shared with her what had happened to him 11 years ago. And they cried. And his mom went and got his younger brother. He came into the room and said that he was molested by the same guy. And so they all cried, and his dad ends up getting home. They tell him what has happened and what the conversations they've been having. And it was in that conversation that his mom said that when she was six, she was sexually abused. And then after that, his dad spoke up and said when he was five, he was molested too. Humanity can be a curse. You see, there's this doctrine in Christianity, we say we believe this and we get it from scripture, that humans were created in the image of God. We talked about that in Genesis 1 just a second ago. That we were created in the image of God, but then something happened. Sin came in and it ruined everything. And ever since then, the world has been plagued by this virus that has infiltrated every single human being and has made this world that we live in more of a wretched place than the perfect Garden of Eden. And so humans, we can be a blessing, but we can also be a curse. But thankfully, this is just called the doctrine of humanity, what we're going to be talking about today. If you've been following along in the Believe book, you may have been reading this chapter about humanity. The idea that we've been created in God's image, we sinned, and then there's something else, though. That's not the end of the story. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and grab it. You can jump into Luke 15. I'm going to get into that in a second, but as you're getting into there, there's Bibles in the beneath the chair in front of you. I want to give you some context of what's happening in the scene so that we're not just jumping in and you're like, what's going on? Jesus had just been having dinner with Pharisees. These are religious leaders, as well as some professionals of the law, some scribes. And this was like in the first century a big deal, like if you had dinner with someone, and it's still a big deal today. Like, you usually don't go to people's houses and have dinner with them if you don't like them, right? Unless it's family. Let's be honest here, okay? So they were having a meal together, and Jesus, so like just here's the thing. Pharisees, if you don't know who the Pharisees are, they're the religious leaders of the day, and they had a good heart in a sense, kind of. They decided, you know, God has these rules, these kind of laws, and you know, the Mosaic law, and the Pharisees decided, you know what, if this is the law, I'm gonna build a fence around the law so that I don't get even close to even thinking about maybe breaking it. So they had all these man-made rules that they tried to get everyone to go by so that they could honor God and, you know, go along with it. But what they ended up missing was that their man-made rules made it very difficult for anyone to actually do what the point of the Mosaic Law was, and that's for them to love God and love people. And so Jesus is having a meal with these guys. It's the day of the Sabbath, so you're not supposed to go very far. And Jesus asked these Pharisees, Jesus is a troll. It's hilarious. Like, you've never heard that be said, right? That's not in a bad way. I love it. It's amazing. Jesus is like, hey guys, is it lawful for me to heal someone on the Sabbath? Because there's this guy in the room, he had a lot of fluid in his body, some kind of sickness that he had, and Jesus was just messing with these Pharisees. Hey, is it lawful for me to heal somebody on the Sabbath? Because I'm not supposed to work, I'm not supposed to do anything. Is this okay? And they didn't say anything, right? And so what does Jesus do? He heals them in this leading Pharisee's house. And he drops the mic and pieces out. Kind of like how it went, right? He's just messing with them. So like, even before this, the Pharisees didn't like Jesus. They weren't really fond of the guy because he's just a crazy rabbi. He doesn't hang in their spaces and their circles. And so time goes on. Jesus has this crowd following him. And the interesting thing about Jesus is every time you see him having a crowd following him, he ends up kind of raising the bar on his teaching and says something that oftentimes would cause a lot of people in the crowds to leave. He right where we're about to get into, he had just said this. He said, if you want to follow me, renounce all of your possessions, get rid of them, and come and follow me. It's like, if you got a house, get rid of it. Sell it, come be homeless with me. It's gonna be great. If you got a 401k, let's just give it to the poor. Just get rid of everything. You don't need anything. Just come and hang out with me. It's going to be great. Yeah? Yeah? And then he said this. He who has ears to listen, let him hear. In other words, hey, lean in. I'm about to say something. So a crowd, right? If you wanted to hear what he's about to say, you have to come to him. And this is where it gets really interesting. Because the people who come forward to hear what he has to say wouldn't be the people that you would expect. Luke 15, verse 1. All the tax collectors and sinners were approaching to listen to him, and the Pharisees and scribes were complaining. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. So the tax collectors and sinners, these were the people that the Pharisees looked at as anti-Israel, the tax collectors. They were anti-Israel. They were working for the Roman government, collecting taxes. They were manipulating their friends, in most cases, and family into paying way more taxes than they needed, and they were pocketing the money. And then the sinners, these are the people who may have been apathetic toward the faith that the Pharisees were trying to espouse people to. These would have been the people who you'd see them on the streets, and like if you saw them walking by, you'd be locking your doors. At least that's what the Pharisees thought. And of all the people in the crowd, it wasn't the good churchgoers. It wasn't the temple volunteers. It was the tax collectors and the sinners who came to Jesus and said, I want to hear what this guy has to say. And the Pharisees, who already didn't like Jesus, who had had a meal with him, like, hold up. You're a rabbi, dude. That's not cool. You can't do that. So they're busy complaining while Jesus is busy doing what he set out to do. They say, listen, Pharisees, let me tell you a story. And he goes on. He told them this parable. What man among you who has 100 sheep and loses one of them does not leave the 99 in the open field and go after the lost one until he finds it? When he has found it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders, and coming home, he calls his friends and neighbors together, saying to them, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need repentance. So Jesus flips the script on them because the Pharisees, they were missing the mission of God because the mission of God was standing right in front of them. Jesus points them to something that would have caused them to start self-reflecting. Because what he's talking about, they would have understood this, that this was not some hired hand, like contractor kind of guy, subcontractor who you hire to hang out with your sheep. The context of this, they would have understood this to be the sole proprietor, owner of all 100 sheep. That was theirs in this situation, in this story. If you had 100 sheep, if you had whatever kind of resources that are valuable to you, that would have been their livelihood. They would have spent all day with them, every day with them, and they would have gotten to know those sheep, right? Pets and monetary source. And so who of you, if you were a shepherd and you had 100 of your own sheep and one went away, would you go after it? Would you leave the 99 who were fine? Leave them in the open field, would you go after them? Would you care? Of course they would. That's the point. The Pharisees knew, they're like, well, of course I would go and get them. They're my sheep. They're expensive. Would you have left the 99, Pharisee? Would you track their footsteps? Because you know, right? Sheep, they just wander. Aimless. That's why you have to have a shepherd. They knew that if we didn't find them, they would be helpless and hopeless. They could have been ravaged by a mountain lion or something. So they would have known. In this situation, they would have had to go after that sheep. Would you lay aside every other thought? What am I having for dinner tonight? You know, find the sheep after I do that. They wouldn't have been doing that. They would have been focused on finding what was lost. And then when they found it, of course, they'd be filled with joy. They would put that sheep above their shoulders, and they would bring that sheep home back to the 99 and back into the fold. And then notice in verse 7, like the Pharisees, you know, they're probably tracking, but they know Jesus. They know that he's always got a flip to it. You know, he's always got a bait and switch. As I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need repentance. You see, these sinners, these tax collectors, these people you have written off. When they surrender to me, Mr. Pharisee, when they pledge allegiance to the Son of God, the Messiah, the promised one, the chosen one, the I am, the one who is speaking to you right now, heaven will erupt in praise while you're sitting down here complaining. While you're more worried about whatever kind of rule you made and you classified them as something, you don't even know them, understand, you don't know the heart of God. I find it really interesting that when Jesus is talking about this stuff, he's got three audiences. He's got the tax collectors and the sinners, the people who are coming forward and wanting to know what Jesus has to say. They've got the disciples who are already following Jesus, learning from this guy. This guy's crazy. This guy's awesome. I don't know what to think about him, but I'm following him. And then you've got the Pharisees, right? They would have seen, this is the interesting thing. Like in this story, they would have seen themselves as the 99 righteous people. They would have been like, I'm one of them. Like that sheep, that wandering sheep, Jesus, that ain't me. That's the tax collectors and sinners, right? 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 You see, welcoming the tax collectors and sinners, Jesus was showing them that he's the shepherd he's talking about. This is why I welcome these people, and that's why I even have meals with you. They are the sheep who were in my flock but have wandered away. Get this. The sheep, right, was in his flock and then wandered away. We were all made in God's image and we sinned. We were in his flock and then we started wandering. Just like the sheep. They're the sheep who are in the flock. They're my creation, guys. My image bearers who have been infected by the virus that disorients and causes them to drift. They have run away from me, but I am here to pursue them and bring them home. And I think the Pharisees should have picked up on it, right? Jesus wasn't saying that they're the 99 righteous people. You see, the sheep in the story is a sheep with many faces. The Pharisees should have looked at the sheep, and when they looked at the sheep, when they looked at the face of the sheep, they should have seen what they see when they look in the mirror. the ultimate script flip. That sheep is humanity. Every single one of us. That sheep is the person who has been hurt by the people who they thought were in the righteous sheep fold, right? Like the churchgoers, they thought they were people who followed God and they were hurt by them. And then they decided, you know what? I'm going to associate that person with God. And so since that person hurt me, I'm going to go away from God because clearly God's not at work in them. And they read their Bible, they do all this stuff, they say all the right things. And then when I get around them, they're just vicious. The sheep is the wanderer who has given up on God. The wanderer is the person who has been ravaged by some kind of pain, some kind of heartache, some kind of thing like Tim Ross had dealt with. They go and they start to pursue other things other than God. And then before they know it, they're at a place where they never thought they could be. That's what a sheep does. Headed for a cliff, we don't even know it's there. And yet, by the time we realize it, we're already at the bottom and dead. The sheep is the person who, by all accounts, is a church person, but is just going through the motions because that's what's expected of them. The wandering sheep is the person who never heard about Jesus, who didn't know that this was an option, who hasn't heard the voice of the shepherd because they don't know how to listen for him. You see, the sheep is each and every one of us. Sheep is me as a teenager, not knowing, like, is God real? I think. I don't know what anything about him. What is that? Sheep is the person depressed and not knowing where to turn, so they turn to drugs and alcohol and just to numb it. See, the sheep is every single one of us. The sheep is the person who thinks they got it all figured out, thinks that they've got life worked out without God. It doesn't matter if a sheep, a wandering sheep, is confident and happy or depressed and humble. Still a wandering sheep. And so the sheep is me, and the sheep is you. But some of us, hopefully many of us in this room, we know about the shepherd who pursues. Some of us have heard his voice when he called out. Some of us have been lifted up, our burdens on his shoulders, our pain eased, our wounds exposed, and we have been brought home because the shepherd sought to find us and rescue us. Some of us have been brought into the fold of the sheep of the good shepherd. But y'all know what? The good shepherd isn't done rescuing and pursuing. And he isn't just rescuing and pursuing somebody else. Not the person over there. Yes, the person over there, but also you. You. No matter how far you've gotten in the wandering stage, you may feel like you're miles and miles away. That sheep knows where you're at. That shepherd knows where you're at, and he can go get you. But will you hear him? C.H. Spurgeon once said this about this passage. I love this. He said, "How beautifully the parable sets forth the whole of salvation. Some of the old writers delight to put it thus. In his incarnation, he came after that lost sheep. In his life, he continued to seek it. In his death, he laid it upon his shoulders. In his resurrection, he bore it on its way. And in his ascension, he brought it home rejoicing." Friends, we are all that lost sheep. Every single one of us needs to be rescued by Jesus Christ. And this is the thing about this particular shepherd. He cares enough about us to not just pursue us for a little while. Because I would venture to say that if I was a shepherd and I had some sheep, I would just order a new one on Amazon. Right? Y'all would too. Click list it. Yep. Would we pursue it with everything we've got, every piece of energy we have? Do we care about that sheep enough to sacrifice ourselves for it? You see, Jesus's pursuit of you cost him his life. He gave himself for you so that sin and death didn't destroy you. He has defeated my foes, your foes, and has risen victoriously so that he can lift you up above his shoulders and take you home. Humanity. Yes, even you. This is true. Take it to the bank. I believe this with all of my heart. You are of infinite worth to the infinite God. Yes, you were made in his image. Awesome, very good. Fist bump. Yes, we've all sinned. Not good. But God looks at you and sees you as enough worth, infinite worth, so that he would leave glory and become a person who could then rescue you. He was the shepherd who went on a pursuit to track your steps and find you, put you on his shoulders, and bring you home where you're supposed to be. That's who Jesus is. Yesterday, I took my oldest daughter, Kyrea, to dance her dance rehearsal. It was all like, I don't know, Springfield or something. It was on the other side of town in Cincinnati. And the church that it was at, the rehearsal, had a bunch, like City Gospel Mission does this dance thing. It's free. It's awesome because it's free. She learns ballet too, but it's free, y'all. Free. And so she, you know, she had her group that she dances with, and we had to find a meeting room. And this church is all kinds, like a maze. It's crazy. And, you know, we got there and I said, hey, what's the plan? Are we able to like watch? Are the parents able to watch? Because I didn't know where they were going to do it. They had this like little gym thing, and that's where they did the rehearsal. And so Kyrea goes with her teachers down, and I went and tried to find where it was, and I ended up finding it. Got to see her do the rehearsal thing. And then the teacher said that they were going to just bring the kids back up and we would be able to peace out, you know, like, because they were going to be here till like 2 p.m., but the young ones were able to go home early. So that's what I was expecting. I was like, I watched them. They did their little thing, and then they sat against the wall, and I just assumed that the teachers were going to bring them upstairs to where the meeting room was. So I went up to the meeting room. I was just getting stuff ready, and then I saw one of the moms bring, like, walking in with one of her kids, and I was like, hey, are we good to go then? And she said, yeah, they said you can go and, you know, grab your kid and head on out. And so I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I went downstairs and where they were doing the rehearsal and stuff, and found her. And she's sitting over there on the side of the wall, or on the wall, with her face in her hands. And I'm like, what's going on? So I walk over there, and as soon as she sees me, she starts bawling. And apparently, like, I think she just thought I left or something. And she didn't know where to go, and her teachers didn't know that there was anything wrong. My daughter is just, this is an actual thing. She's highly sensitive. So a lot of times, like, if you try to say hi to her, she probably won't say anything. It's not because she's shy. It's just because she's, like, new situation, trying to gauge whether or not she wants to jump in. But you know what? She started crying, and guys, like, having a daughter, it's just, y'all know, dads, y'all know who have daughters. It's just something about it that just, your heart just goes mush, right? Like, she's got me wrapped around her finger. And she started crying and wanted me to hold her, so she puts her arms up, and I hold her, and she's crying, and I'm trying to help her. And y'all, it just made me think, like, you know, when she comes to me and finds her refuge in my arms, it's just, there's something about it that I can't describe with words, but it's just so amazing and powerful. And y'all, that got me thinking about how much God must feel when we go to him with our arms up and just seeking to find refuge in him. It just made me think, like, I don't know, if I felt that, I would explode, because God's infinite, is amazing, and he's a good father, right? And I just started thinking, like, what? In the middle of the night, Piper will, my second daughter, will wake up in the middle of the night, and she'll run to our room, like, maybe she's upset, like she had a bad dream or something, and she'll always come to daddy's side. Yeah. And, like, I'll hold her, you know, and put her back to bed. It's just something about it when she comes to me, arms up, just in total surrender, like, I know that you can help me with this. And guys, I gotta imagine, like, maybe when Jesus said he's the good shepherd, he's the one that comes after the lost sheep, that when he finds that sheep and puts it above his shoulders and brings it home, I'm just thinking maybe that's a picture of what it looks like when we come to surrender to him, and he's like, here, come on. I'm what you need. Like, even guys, I know that's like a mushy thing, and like, we don't want to talk about being like vulnerable because we're men, but y'all, like, when you just are at the point where you're willing to say, I can't do it anymore. I've been doing this my way for too long. I've been wandering. I don't know where to go. Deep down inside, I've got a lot of emotion. I just keep bottled up because sometimes it's not socially acceptable for me to show it because I'm a guy. Y'all, when you hear the voice of the shepherd, don't be so prideful that you ignore it, because he cares for you. You are of infinite worth to the infinite God. And I believe that with all my heart. And he's not just a God who's far off. He is the good Father. He is the heavenly Father who seeks to be there for you. He seeks to be your refuge. Just like my daughter comes to me and makes me feel all crazy. So the question is, will you yield to that shepherd? Because Jesus says, let anyone who has ears to hear listen. So are you listening? A.W. Tozer, in his book, God's Pursuit of Man, highly recommend it, said this: always life stands just beyond death and beckons the man who is sick of himself to come and know the life more abundant. We might well pray for God to invade and conquer us, for until he does, we remain in peril from 1,000 foes. Tim Ross, 6 months after he let that secret out, he knew where to turn because his parents were following Jesus. Legitimately, genuinely, he could see it. 6 months later, he surrendered to Christ and has been following him ever since. And when he was talking about his life following God, this is what he said. He said, if I just started walking with him, he would just start shedding layers of bondage, abuse, molestation, self-esteem, people-pleasing. As we begin to walk, things would just start falling off of me. God brought people into my life to literally love all that crap out of me. It's been a great walk, 14 years and still walking. It's been good. So I don't carry secrets anymore. Two things to walk away with today. First, you are of infinite worth to the infinite God. Remind yourself of that every single day. Because Jesus has cut through the thicket of sin to make a way for you not just to be rescued once, but for you to find refuge in him every single day of your life. And secondly, humanity left alone is destructive, but humanity plus God is restorative. I find Tim Ross's story to be very interesting because as much pain as he went through because of people, he just pointed to people as being one of the soul and big parts of him finally finding freedom in Christ. That they literally loved that crap out of him. And so God doesn't just rescue us, find us wandering just to save us and bring us into the fold and that's it. He saves us and rescues us so that we would be a blessing, so that when we are on the road, we don't give in to road rage, but we see that person as made in the image of God, and maybe, just maybe, they're having a bad day and you could pray for them. Maybe we could look at people with genuine love and adoration, not because of anything they did or didn't do for us, but because our Father in heaven made them with the same image, made them with the same care, made them with the same creativity that he made you. And maybe, just maybe, that in our lives, as we are walking this walk of life, maybe following Jesus, maybe we can stop getting so down on ourselves as if we have just completely screwed everything up. Because what I know is that Jesus's grace is more than any kind of failure you can come up with. That's a place to say amen. Because Jesus cares enough for you to be the one who is there when you decide, you know what, I've had it, I can't do anything anymore, I'm just gonna come and surrender and come to you. You are of infinite worth to the infinite God. Don't let yourself or anyone else tell you anything different. Would you guys stand? We're gonna pray. I wanna encourage you, if you're here today and you've never surrendered and met the shepherd, there are gonna be people up here who would love to talk to you about that, who would love to help you take your next step. Let's pray.